The witness of ancient wisdom this morning is from Psalms 139, verses 23-24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. God is still speaking, and we are still listening. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. So short and sweet today. I wanted to give time for us to have this more conversational sermon. And like I said again, this is not intended as a stump your pastor, but I imagine I might be stumped by some of your questions, and that's okay. So I'd invite you to, where's that basket? Is it making its way around? Let's pass that around there. As I said, I hope to get through a number of questions today, but if there are questions we don't get to, I'll be sure to share those in our weekly email. There's a couple more. There might be three or five or seven, we'll see. But I'm going to set a timer here just to give us a little support to make sure that we kind of continue our worship in a timely fashion. All right. I was wondering how nervous I would feel when I got to this moment, and pretty nervous, but grateful. All right, we have a couple more coming in there. We hope that this would give us a chance to see, maybe to see your pastor in a different light, to hear me think on my feet. This is one of those things we ask people who are seeking ordination. When they have to sit for an interview with the Committee on Ministry, they often have to answer theological questions on the spot. So we'll see how that goes for me. But I'm going to take one here, and I'm not picking, I'm not choosing, just taking the first one on the top. My will or God's will, how do I know? That's an easy one, yeah. That is a tough question. That is a tough question. I think we all know. Have you ever tried to talk yourself into something? Say, I really feel like God is telling me to buy this RV. And I really feel like it's God's blessing for me. I think we've all sort of recognized that in ourselves. And sometimes it's really hard, legitimately hard to know whether it's your will or it's God. But I think listening, taking that moment to ask, is this God's will? That's the critical first step. To stop and say, what might God be calling me to? What might the Spirit be calling me to? And what part of this might be my own selfish sort of desires? Actually, I believe that we have good desires that God puts in our hearts, that we're supposed to listen to. And sometimes we've been told through other religious sort of experiences that we can't trust our own desires. I think we need to unlearn that a little bit as a culture. We need to learn to listen a little more closely to our spirit and then discern. But I'll tell you a couple ways not to do this. Don't try Bible roulette. You know, when you flip open the Bible and just scramble to a page and say, that's what God wants me to do. Not very effective. So, any other thoughts on that? How you discern God's will or my will?
Ask other people.
Yeah, look for the sort of affirmation of others, wise, trusted counselors, people who know you, people who are also steeped in the Spirit. If you have a real question of discernment there, don't go it alone. Don't go it alone. Jesus gives us a good outline of what to say. Not my will, but thine be done. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Give it time.
Give it time. And pray, right? Pray and listen. We have a prayer that we like to say, oh God, hear our prayers and help us hear your answer. Yes.
I just wanted to add
Yeah, right. So take time on the journey.
Online participation.
Oh, I love that. Online participation. I'm going to honor that by reading that one next, right on the top. How do we find hope and share hope when the world is so discouraging? That is a very real question and timely question. Yes, there. You know, I open up the news app every morning, and there's more reason for me to feel hopelessness, to feel discouraged. And sometimes it's really hard to find hope. It's hard to share it in a world when other people are really hurting. I'll tell you what I do. This is my response. I do look for the helpers, that Mr. Rogers quote. Like when there's suffering and I see terrible disasters happening in the world, as we see today in Nepal and China, I look for the people who are responding, the people who are giving of their time and their talents, who are sacrificially showing up to help others. And that gives me hope. I do try to look for those stories of good news when there are places and people where I see reason for hope, reason for thriving. And sometimes I get discouraged, as we all do, I'm sure. Sometimes it's hard. That list of hopeful stories is sort of outweighed by all the many like hard headlines. I think sometimes we have rituals like this of coming back to community, coming, sharing our prayers, even just knowing that I'm not the only one reading that headline, or I'm not the only one carrying that burden, helps me feel a little bit more hope. And at the end of the day, I come with a lot of prayers back to the Spirit and say, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know what to do with this feeling. I don't know what to do in response to this need. But God, Spirit, love, I trust that you know better than I do. Help me find that way. Pastor Adam, we see you lead us in communal prayer. I'm curious what forms your personal prayer takes. Asking for new ideas for myself. Do you kneel and pray? Or are there certain times of day you pray? You know, this is a great question, and it really puts me on the spot. So, yes, I get to lead communal prayer, but I also have personal practices of prayer. I really like Anne Lamott's Help, Thanks, Wow prayers, if you've ever read her book. She says, a lot of our prayers boil down to three basic prayers. Help, or thanks, or wow. So I got to go see a national park in Yellowstone, and I had lots of wow prayers, after that experience. I think taking time to experience awe, whether it's in the natural world or with music or art or poetry, sitting by your loved ones and just giving thanks for that, that can become a prayer. We sometimes pray over meals, not as often as I'd like to. Sometimes it's a kind of a prayer roulette. So it's maybe Johnny Appleseed, maybe it's the Lord's Prayer, maybe we sing the doxology. I like to pray with music whenever I can. That's one way that has nurtured my spirit. I had a mentor who actually got a kneeler from an old church, and in her office as a pastor, she would sit down and kneel and pray through the prayers. And I have not found a kneeler yet, so if you find a kneeler... Let me know. But I had this lamp in my office for many years. It's from that Abbey of Gethsemane I talked about, where Thomas Merton is from. And often when I'm preparing the weekly prayers for our community, I would light that and maybe even light some incense and sit there with some music playing as I kind of held those prayers. I like to pray walk. So I don't know if you ever do that, if you are a person who walks your neighborhood, but I like to sort of pray as I go and Say, oh God, thank you for this person who's being such a good neighbor. Or please help that person who looks like they need a friend. And let those prayers sort of cultivate me. I have, over the years, had lots of different prayer guides. I have a couple. One was actually sort of a Catholic prayer book that I used. And I like to use that to sort of, it helps me cover things that I wouldn't normally think of to pray for by having that prayer book. And there's a new book of uncommon prayer that some of the Red Letter Christians have put together. And I invite you to check that out. But that's been an encouragement to me, sometimes with a little reading, to start out the prayer and then a reflection. I'll say, last thing, one of my favorite prayers is what's called the examen. So at the end of your day, before you close your eyes, taking a moment to think back through your day, to give thanks for the things for which you're grateful, to pray for the needs that you encountered and maybe didn't have enough resources to help out with, to forgive yourself for the blunders you made along the way through that day, and say, you know what, I can have compassion for myself just as I would have compassion for someone else. None of us are perfect, but tomorrow's a new day. And by letting that review sort of shape me, I can sort of let go of that day and think about tomorrow. Am I perfect in any of these? No. I am still learning and growing in my prayer practice, and some of you are actually quite encouraging to me, the way you have a spiritual discipline that has shaped you over time. So I think there's no one right way to pray, and there are very few wrong ways to pray. So maybe that's another question. How am I doing? Too fast? Too slow? All right. What are you reading? Oh, that's a good question. So these days, reading is a lot more mobile than it was once upon a time. I got through all of my seminary reading, and I decided I didn't want to read any of those books for a while. So I have a stack of them on my shelf that I'm going to get to. I have a couple books about church life that I'm anxious to get to. One about Theology in the Capitalocene, which is this name for this time when it feels like everything's been reduced to dollars and cents. Another one is about being the church in a liminal space. Like we're trying to be church at a time when so many things are shifting, and that's complicated. For myself, we just took a long trip, and I've enjoyed audiobooks from the library. So we finished a really fun mystery with the kids on this last trip called Green Glass House. It's a really fun audiobook. And yesterday I was listening to the book Refugee, which if you haven't encountered that, it's a story of five or six intersecting stories of displaced and refugees, displaced people, some from Cuba, some from Syria, some from the Holocaust. And it's a really interesting kind of read. And those all sound really heavy, and I wish I had some really fun books to share with you. I need to lighten up, so I'm working on that. But I do love that summer gives us time to share what we're reading, to trade books. So if you have some recommendations, I would love them. So. Thank you. What do you think God is? How do you envision God? Okay, just a small question there. Well, I try to think about this like how I would talk to the kids who come up on Sunday morning. How do I talk about God in a sense? I like to think about God is what is beyond our understanding. God is love, God is compassion, God is grace, God is life. When I envision God, it's not with a white beard, a man up in the clouds. It's easier to talk about how I don't envision God than it is how I do envision God. sometimes in our conversations and confirmation, it feels a little bit more like we're talking about the Force, like Star Wars. Like God is in me and you and the tree, all around us. God is in between us in every interaction that we have. God is that space between the atoms that connects all things. And when I talk about God and I envision God, I think the best I can say is I can point to Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth is, I believe, God embodied, God who took on flesh. And I look to him, to what he did and what he said. I try to separate that from how we've kind of told his story over the centuries and millennia. But I try to come back to Jesus and say, who is this person? How does he point me back to the divine? And if there's anything, it's not just the Jesus on the cross that we sometimes think about. It's the Jesus who got low to the ground and picked up the child, and who met the woman at the well, the Jesus who broke bread with his friends and ate it together. The real human Jesus. Sometimes we put Jesus up on this high pedestal. He's all robed in white and shining and glittery. But when I come back to the stories that we read in the Gospels, I try to think about Jesus with skin on. So those are some of my answers. If I have to boil it down, I'll say God is love. God is love. God is love. All right, that's my 5-minute warning. Do we have time for one more? Yeah, maybe more. Pink? I pledge that I'm going to answer them all, but I'm just going to take the ones on top. Are there beliefs you're less certain about now than you were earlier in your faith journey? What are they? What are you still certain of? Yes. Yes, so many. I'll say, when I was in college, I went to a Bible school. Before that, I was a part of a very kind of evangelical, fundamentalist, charismatic tradition. I was really reading a lot about predestination and this idea that God had our whole life planned out for us, and all we had to do was figure out what God's plan was, God's perfect plan, and if we got into that path, then we'd be following God's way. And I had these long debates. Do we really have choice, or does it just feel like we have a choice? Does it just look like we have a choice? Is God really in control, or do our prayers really matter? Can we change God's mind? I spent a lot of time and read a lot of books and had a lot of arguments with friends in college about all of this stuff. And I don't really care about that anymore. I don't think those are the questions that most people are asking in their day-to-day lives. I think most people are trying to figure out, how do I live? How do I deal with this this life in the pain that I encounter? How do I deal with the suffering I see in the world? How do I find meaning and purpose in my life? Those are the questions that are much more challenging. And I think early on in my like faith journey, I was really trying to do it all right, to learn all the answers, and to have a sense of certainty about my faith. And the longer I live, the more I've studied, the longer I've been involved in ministry, the less I can say for certain, other than that thing I said just a minute ago, God is love, God is love, God is love. So, yeah. Hate ending. One more? One more. All right. I'm gonna have to stop here, but then I'll this is a good one. All right. Is there really a devil, and what does evil mean? Oh, I probably should have stopped before. So again, I'll try to keep this brief, but I was raised in this world where I was reading all these Left Behind books. and Frank Peretti's, like, this piercing the darkness, this present darkness, was a lot about spiritual warfare. And I didn't know at the time, but they were really, like, it was the Christian bookstore bestseller. So it was like the Crichton or, you know, these books were just flying off the shelves. And they have a lot of spiritual stuff there. And when we talk about the devil, I think there's a spirit of untruth, of lies, of... like there's sort of the antithesis of God. So there is hate in our world, and I don't need a big bad boogeyman to embody that. I see that in my life. I see that in our communities, in the world. There's a brokenness that is in need of healing, and it's that absence of God, that anti-love, that I think is what I think of as the work of the devil. When Jesus talks in the Gospels about Satan, it's really about this deceiver. Do I sometimes like talk like there's a little devil on this shoulder and a little, you know, angel on this shoulder telling me don't eat the ice cream, eat the ice cream, you know? Sometimes, but there is absolutely evil in this world, but it is not greater than the good in this world. And I think that's sometimes where we get a misunderstanding. We think that these were equal and opposite forces, but that is not the case. Love is greater by far. And when we look at the arc of history, when we look at the way God shows up in the world, God is so much greater. Love is so much greater. And whereas I think there is real evil, I think sometimes we've seen terrible, terrible things. I prefer to turn on the light than try to fight the shadows. Amen. Amen. Well, this was really fun for me. How was it for you all? Right. Well, I hope to answer the rest of your questions this week, and I hope maybe we have another opportunity to do something like this, maybe in the Advent or Christmas season or post-Easter. Often we go through those seasons when we have a lot of questions that come up, but, you know, we're just trying to get through the pageant and Christmas Eve, and so we don't always get to all those questions that come up for us. So I appreciate you helping ask these questions around God and faith and doubt, and maybe we can do it again in a little bit different topic and different emphasis. But thank you so much. I really believe that more light and truth is yet to break forth. This is a UCC mantra, and that we hear the truth of God in community, that every one of us has a chance to encounter the divine, to share of the Spirit, and to preach good news. So thank you for preaching good news to me, and I hope you caught some good news today, too. I'd like to close with this witness of modern wisdom. There's a poem by Edwina Gately called Let Your God Love You. Be silent. Be still. Alone. Empty before your God. Say nothing. Ask nothing. Be silent. Be still. Let your God look upon you. That is all. God knows. God understands. God loves you with an enormous love and only wants to look upon you with that love. Quiet. Still. Be. Let your God love you.